You know, one quality in a person that I could never really tolerate, well, there are many that I can't tolerate, but one of them is cockiness, being that of a cock, in the sense that when a man or a woman stands in front of you and says, I never make mistakes, I never apologize for anything, I am always right, I know more than anybody, including you. I've been smart all my life. I only make the proper decisions when they're supposed to be made. I am flawless. I am extremely smart. I am extremely successful, more than you will ever experience in your life because I am superior to you. I am godlike. God has given me the power. You would respond by saying, you need to be locked up in a mental institute. Get away from me, you floundering cock. That's basically what the cock tweeted over the weekend. And I think you know who I'm talking about.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
And that's not all.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's a Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. The president is responding to a book by Michael Wolff, claiming that just about everybody in the White House and many people in Congress are saying that Donald Trump is not stable, that he's an idiot and he's not stable. Oh my God, Trump doesn't like to hear that. So he immediately tweets and holds press conferences and says, not only am I the smartest person in the entire world, but not only am I a, and he uses the word genius, but he says, I'm also incredibly stable. I am very, very stable, incredibly stable. Everybody thinks I'm stable. You'll never meet a more stable person than me. When someone stands there and claims that they are sane and stable and makes such a loud statement about it, you're probably looking at a person that's not stable. Probably. That's what this is all about. It's just embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. And here's the thing about Republicans and Democrats as well, but especially Republicans. See, everybody wants something out of Trump. Those that invest in the stock market don't want Trump to go down. Those that own businesses and are going to get corporate tax breaks that'll really change their companies for the better for them, they want everything out of Trump they can. They don't want Trump to go down. Those that are very tight on immigration and hate foreigners and only like the white Americans, they don't want Trump to go down. He represents them. those that want the Supreme Court to side on their pro-life, you know, so stop abortion, abortion must stop completely. We want judges in there that will make those decisions hard and fast. They don't want Trump to go down because Trump's in a position to appoint those kinds of judges. You see, people have an invested interest in what Trump can do for them. But Trump also does harm to many as well. And that's the general public, and that's what they will eventually find out. But all the donations, all the financial support for campaigns to keep people in power, to put people in power, those monies are necessary to any candidate. And they will kowtow and repay those that financially contribute to their campaign so that they can get what they want. That's why they don't want Trump to go down. But what does go down, and was pretty much not an argument, is that the Trump presidency is ruining democracy. It is driving a wedge between our relationships with every ally that we have or had. That's what Trump is doing. He's turning democracy into a king and a throne. He puts down the media, both good and bad. Anything that challenges him, he wants total control. That's what communists do. That's what countries with dictators do. They control and destroy the media, or control it completely to the point where they're not the media anymore. They're just a communication outlet of the government. Those of you that said, "I don't want government to run my life," are feeding into this right now. The country is also being run by an illiterate man. Read his tweets. Read his unprepared statements. They are illiterate. He cannot form a sentence. He has a poor choice of words. He has no grammar. His thoughts are broken. His mind rambles from one subject to the next. His method of communication is through bullying and put downs, calling people names, all the kind of stuff you did in fifth grade that you were supposed to grow out of. So what we're doing here, many Americans are selling their souls. They're getting what they want out of the president to embetter themselves at the cost of being immoral, having no scruples, being inhumane in many senses. That's the trade-off. That's where we are. Here's the interesting thing. Last night was the Golden Globe Awards in Hollywood. It was basically a sexual harassment party, in the sense that they just denounced sexual harassment completely, which they should do, because a lot of it came from Hollywood, and did it successfully so. Oprah Winfrey wins the Lifetime Achievement Award. She gets up on stage, and it sounds like she's making a campaign speech. Yes, she harps upon the sexual harassment about how women now are free to speak, which is, of course, fantastic. She also applauded the men that have the respect and always have. Thank you for that, Oprah. But then she also started to comment about the morality of our nation, etc. And you could get a little bit of a feel of what she might be going for. And whether you like Oprah or not, it's interesting because it would pit media mogul against media mogul. Let me explain something to you. Oprah Winfrey is a media mogul. Donald Trump is not. Donald Trump is a real estate agent, a real estate developer, by name only at this point. He's not an entertainment mogul. He co-produced The Apprentice with an executive producer. He didn't become a star because he's a great actor or a great writer or a great communicator. They just put him in a position there on the show where he sat behind a boardroom desk and fired people. He's not a media mogul. He's not an entertainment king. He's not an actor. He's not a reality star. That's not him at all. Why are we putting that label on him? There's another media mogul, business mogul, who is also interested in running. And that's Mark Cuban. You may know him from the Shark Tank show. He's an entrepreneur. He doesn't like Trump. He disagrees with most of what Trump does. But he does love good business. He thinks the country should be run on successful business. And that is the way of our times. But he seems to do it in a sense where he thinks things through first. He balances very well business and personal life and democracy and private life and private business. He seems to do that rather well. He might be interested in running as well. Because let me tell you something, in this day and age, nobody really wants that job anymore. You put yourself in the White House, you can put a target right on your face. No kidding, you know that. Times have changed. You know, someday you could grow up to be president. No thank you, Mom. I'll pass on that one. Thanks. Thanks anyway. I see what happens to presidents. I don't think so. Thank you anyway, though. Don't need that. That ain't going to work for me. Sorry. That ain't going to work. But, you know, anybody can become president. Yeah, that was just proven. All right, we move on. There's a lot more to talk about, but I don't want to bore you, so let me get light and fluffy.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Ron has a prediction. By the way, I'm Ron High. Ron has a prediction. Here's his prediction. This week in the Northeast, and for most of the country, we're into a warming trend, what they call a thaw. A thaw. For the past 2.5 weeks, the temperatures in the Northeast and in most of the country have been freezing. People in Florida are actually wearing sweaters and heavy coats. You see, when it's like 50 degrees in Florida, they actually turn into an ice cube down there. They're just, it's a question of what you're used to is what it is. And that's the thesis of what I'm going to be talking about here as far as the weather's concerned. Temperatures in the Northeast, in the New York and Boston area, are actually going to hit near 60 degrees toward the end of this week. Each day this week, including today, it gets warmer and warmer and warmer. In the 30s. Midweek in the 40s, end of the week in the 50s. After that, it kind of equals out. Most days are in the high 30s, many days in the low 40s. That's a good winter thing. We live with that stuff. Getting up in the morning when it's 20 below zero in a cosmopolitan metropolitan city, that's not good. Going through the day with a high temperature of 10 degrees or 8 degrees, that's not good. Temperatures during the daytime in the 40s, that's good. So that's where we're at. I guarantee you that you, no matter where you live in the Northeast, by the middle or end of the week, will be seeing people running around in shorts and t-shirts. It's only going to be about 40 degrees. And believe me, if this was the summer, where you're used to temperatures of 80s and 90s, and all of a sudden it's 40 degrees, you'd be seeing people walking around in parkas and heavy snowsuits, even though it's not snowing, because they'd be freezing their ass off. It's a question of what you're used to. 40-degree weather right now in the Northeast, you're going to feel like it's summer. I guarantee you people will be barbecuing, running around in shorts, sleeveless t-shirts. It's going to be interesting. It's all a question of what you're used to. And that's true for every phase of life. I am a genius. I am the smartest person in the world. I am so mentally stable, it's not funny.
As a special surprise, thank you. Everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
I'm shipping the ferrets for free, too. Free shipping. I am, by the way, I don't know if I told you this, I am a genius. I am so much smarter than you. I know everything. You know nothing. Thank God I'm here to save your ass. Because you're basically stupid. By the way, I am so stable. I don't know if it shows, but I am so freaking excited. Coming up at the end of January, beginning of February, just after the Super Bowl, is RonCom. RonCon is an annual convention that takes place every year. Never did before. This is the first year, but that's good for promotion purposes. You say it was every year, but it's never happened before. All across the country at various venues, there will be a Ron Van Dam convention where people dress up like me, look like me. They start growing beards, long hair, become extremely attractive. They dress like me and they go to conventions and it's fantastic. They celebrate my life because I am a genius and much smarter than you are and also incredibly stable. There's seminars about me. I teach you how to get along with people even though you can't stand most of them. I teach you how to be grumpy and nasty, and if there are any kids on your lawn, how to shoo them off. Or better yet, make sure they never show up again by setting traps. It's so full of information. It's RonCon, and it's taking place all over the world. It is a movement. It is a shaker. It's almost like a religion. It's almost like a cult, but it's not because I said it's not. You can pick up your RonCon paraphernalia. You can get the... every time I wear underpants and I shower, I take the underpants, I pack them in cellophane, and I sell them for millions of dollars to people. Sometimes they wear it. Sometimes they hang it on their wall. Memorabilia is just flying off the shelves. So stay tuned to this show on a daily basis as we announce the locations of the RonCons this year, who the special guests are, and I may even make an appearance at a couple of these places if I can be bothered at all to leave my house. RonCon 2018, be there or don't.
Hi, this is Gary Feldstetler, and I'm one of the 14 people who regularly listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. I was thinking recently that it's probably about time that we all got together to celebrate our appreciation of Ron Van Dam, and that's why I'm hosting the first ever RonCon next weekend at the Fairview Motel and Asian Massage Parlor Center. This will be a great opportunity for us to talk about what we love about Ron, wear our favorite Ron Van Dam costumes, and hold panel discussions on things like, why are those RMV people so miserable? And why does the waitress always come over when you have food in your mouth? And why do people at the next table have to be talking about their health issues when I'm trying to enjoy an eggplant rollatini? I can neither confirm nor deny the rumors that Ron Van Dam himself will make an appearance at RonCon, but that would be nice, right? So I hope to see you all there next weekend at RonCon. Most of you probably have my phone number already, so if you can't make it, just give me a call. I could probably get the deposit back on the room if this isn't a good idea, but, you know, can't hurt to try. I'm kind of lonely, like you.
By the way, that's a 50-year-old person whose voice at times sounds like they haven't reached puberty yet. Nonetheless, those are my people. Speaking of people, you're rather normal if, if you owe about $1,000 or more on your credit card right now. And I think that's a low estimate. But that's what they say. Owing a couple of $1,000s after the holidays on your credit cards is rather normal for most people. But if you just pay the minimum every month, it'll take you about 20 years to pay this thing off, and you will have spent nearly 50% more than what you owed originally. You've paid off in interest charges. So how do you get around this? Because most people are in this boat. So I thought today it might be interesting to find out how we can pay off these credit cards that we have mounted up a bit during the holidays, as we do every year. Let's find out how to do this with my guest. Hello.
How you doing?
Alina Dunham joins us. How are you today?
I'm great.
She is a millennial money expert. Not talked to anybody like that before. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're talking about Holiday Finance 101, which I think sounds like a decent course at a university. This is how to keep your spending on track and avoid a holiday hangover. This is a holiday hangover of a financial sort, I assume.
Yes.
Okay. What do people get themselves? What kind of trouble can one get into?
Yeah, you know, credit cards are the main reason that we're getting into trouble this holiday season. We spend way too much money. Think about it. We have our holiday parties, we're shopping, and we don't necessarily think about all the costs until our bills come in January.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so credit cards are really great for convenience, but if you really think about it, they're a high-interest loan that many of us have a hard time paying off. You know, 29 million Americans are carrying credit card debt that is at least 2 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's, yeah, really a lot. And the percentage rates on that interest rate become incredible at a point.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah, it's weird that over the holidays, it kind of, you know, the love and compassion take over the financial brain.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, you always pay for that in the long run, literally. So what can we do to make sure we don't get deeper into the hole?
Yeah, you know, especially this holiday season, I would think twice before spending. So it's really important that you make a list and prioritize who you want to give gifts to.
Yeah.
Also consider experiences over gifts your family and friends just won't really need.
Yes.
And instead of swiping, you know, there are or simpler ways to borrow money that won't actually impact your credit score. So if you're looking to borrow money this holiday season, instead of turning to a credit card, consider a personal loan. I know it's not conventional, but marketplaces like LendingClub are a great place to go to get competitive rates, low monthly payments, no hidden fees, and it's fixed term. So if you're really thinking about it, once you pay off the balance, you're done. Unlike a credit card, you're kind of just, you don't know where you're going at that point.
And isn't it true that credit-wise, it's actually good to take something out and then to pay it back at a regular, efficient basis? That's actually a plus in your column.
You know, it is, but, and one of the things that I definitely think that everyone should do, and this is one of my biggest tips, is pay off your credit cards in full every month.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the biggest challenges we face. Is, you know, credit card companies have made it so easy, and they've kind of conditioned us to pay the bare minimum. And it's fine until you really think about it, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, nearly 44% of Americans are carrying credit card debt, and that can last around like $10,000. That's a lot of money if you really think about it.
Yeah, that's like the oldest trap in the book. I mean, that goes back to when credit cards first began. I mean, it was, you can fall into that trap quite, it's almost like smoking. It's like you're in it and then you're stuck and then it's hard to get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. But this is worse because it's your finances. And once you're kind of, it's really, really hard to dig out of that hole.
Yeah.
And once you're in it, you know, it's really hard to see the light. But,
Okay. I mean, I get the idea that, you know, people spend too much out of, there are gifts you can get people that are far more meaningful than the extraordinary cash dollar involved in being marketed to death to the point where they want all your money. So, yeah, I mean, and those gifts kind of mean more. But that's not why you're here, to talk about gift giving. What about, like, you know, for resolutions into the new year, most of us want to lose weight. That's the big one. And then the other is to financially be a bit more solvent.
Yeah, I think we all kind of think about two things. It's either I got to get a gym membership or I got to figure out what to do with my finances. And so, you know, before you sign up for a subscription at a gym that you probably will, you know, wean off in 3 months, it's really important to just take stock of your financial habits. Set realistic goals for yourself. Create actual budgets that you can attain. Because, you know, it's really hard if they're not actionable goals to achieve. And they can be little. It can be, you know, I'm going to set little money dates with myself and I'm going to make sure I pay off all of my bills in full every month. You know, other things that you can do this holiday season is remember, or in the new year, is to remember to save for emergencies. You know, they always come up, and I think it's kind of the last expense that we think about, but many of us can't cover a $400 emergency expense, and that's, you know, we don't need it until we need it, and then it's too late.
Yeah, that's like that's like insurance, it's like car insurance.
Exactly.
Never get in an accident, and then you get in an accident.
Exactly. And, you know, if you do finish the holiday season with debt, it's really, really important that you consolidate that debt. You know, again, what we were saying is you don't want to carry that bare minimum on the balance. So it's really important to consolidate that debt and just pay it off. And once it's behind you, you can move forward and get more control over your finances.
Well, in order to find out how to do that, where do we go?
Yeah, if you're looking for more information, come to Lending Club. Customers have saved, on average, $300 a month. That's really easy money that you can then turn into your savings.
Okay.
And there are other, you know, free online tools. Credit Karma is a great place to start. NerdWallet, you know, financial advisor, I encourage you to talk to them. But, there's definitely resources.
What a strange name for a company, NerdWallet. I never kind of understood how that caught on. Anyway, okay, well, have a great holiday season, and thanks for helping us out with ours as far as finances are concerned.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ron.
Do we get a diploma now for doing Holiday Finance 101?
Yes, you do.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I got a diploma because I'm the smartest person in the world, much smarter than you. I never make a mistake. I am also incredibly obnoxious. And I demand your loyalty, otherwise you're an asshole. How about that, huh? You be loyal to me, or I will put you down and destroy your reputation. I will make you cry. I will embarrass you in front of the entire nation unless you lick my ass. Now, how wonderful a person am I? I told you I am. I can't believe this happened. Anyway, whatever. Look, you know, I know, it's enough. This has become the new norm, Ron. Just get used to it. It's normal. Don't complain about things. The government officials don't want you to complain about anything. That would be wrong. This is not a complaining place. This is the United States of America, where you do what you're told by the extreme genius, and you do not ever question it. You do not ever, ever, ever criticize it, or you will be harmed, certainly by reputation. And we'll also block you on Facebook. Oh, no, not that. Oh, God, no, not that. Don't block me on Facebook. Oh, no. Oh, man. I'm wiping my nose because I still have a cold. Do you care? Are we still a caring nation of people that have colds? I'm not talking about colds, the department store. I'm talking about cold, the little disease that you get in your body every once in a while. Colds is something else. A little something else. Not a lot different. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had probably the most fun I've had in about 45 minutes. So thank you so much for your time today. I'll be with you again tomorrow with a brand new show when I promise to be a bit more humorous and fluffy and light and the life of the party. But until then, I wish you peace.